If you still have your hymn book open, if you still have your hymn book open to Psalm 119, you will notice that Psalm 119 is set up differently from most other psalms. It has parts or sections with titles like Aleph, Beth, and so on. These are letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each verse of the corresponding section begins with that letter, like writing a poem with lines starting A, 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 B, 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 and so on. This writing technique is called acrostic. You may also notice that Psalm 119 is the longest psalm, having over 100 verses. Sometimes it's called the longest chapter in the Bible. In our English Bible, the psalms are very close to the middle, so that when you open your Bible toward the middle, you very likely open to the psalms. Another characteristic of Psalm 119 is that each verse has one or more synonyms for the Word of God. If you look, for example, at part one, which we just sang, you will see law, testimonies, precepts, ways, statutes, commandments, judgments. There are also many hymns based on various parts of this psalm to help us learn its meaning and to show our praise to God. Now, all of that is very interesting, but it won't get you to heaven. So let's look at one section, our text for today, Psalm 119, verses 103 and 104. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. There we have words and precepts to describe God's word. And they're described as sweet, sweeter than honey. To the Christian, God's word is sweet, something that gives us hope and happiness. To the Christian, even the commandments of God can be sweet. We know that this is what God wants us to do. St. Paul urges us to delight in what is good and noble and true and pure. He writes to the Philippians, "Brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." The very first psalm describes the believer like this: his delight is in the law or instruction of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And our text says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to the mouth." But as I read through the Bible, even as a Christian, I find things that do not taste so sweet, things that do not make me happy, things that make me cringe, make me feel guilty, and they should make me feel guilty. God's word has two main teachings, law and gospel. And when I read God's law, I recognize it as true, and I see my failures. My conscience tells me that God is right in what he demands of us. Do not murder, do not steal, you shall have no other gods, and so on. But I still carry with me that sinful self that wants to rebel against God, that wants me to be God. That sinful self does not delight in God's law, wants to make my own law. As I read through Psalm 119, there are many places that show my guilt, my sin, my failure. How we look at Psalm 119 shows how we look at all of Scripture. We must learn not to focus only on the law of God, only on the things that we owe to God, things that we should and must do, but we must focus on what God does as well. For if the Bible becomes only my book of rules for life, then it remains a closed book and doesn't help me get to heaven. It becomes bitter because it either makes me self-righteous, thinking that I'm better than everybody else, or it makes me despair, thinking that there's no way that God can forgive me, for my sins are too many and too big. Yes, we should hate sin. We should recognize our sins and repent of them. The psalm gives ample opportunity to do that. Our text says, "Through your precepts I gain understanding, therefore I hate every false way, even my false way." But the other great teaching of God's word is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of hope for lost sinners, because God sent his only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, to dwell among us, to die for us, and to forgive us all our sins. As we read the Bible, we should look especially for what it says that God does for us in Christ. The whole Bible, including Psalm 119, is about Jesus, who paid the price for our sins with his holy blood to make us pure and righteous and holy. Then it becomes for us a book of promise and hope and comfort and assurance. In another part of Psalm 119, we read, "Let your mercies come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word." Mercies, salvation, and trust. From the time that sin entered the world, God promised his mercy. He promised a savior, a solution to the dilemma of God having to punish mankind and yet not let mankind created in the image of God be destroyed. Christ, the only Son of God, came to earth to be our substitute and to pay for our sins. It is through him that God's word to us is sweet and promise and hope and comfort and certainty. When we look to Jesus, holy life, innocent death, and glorious rising from the dead, then God's word is truly sweet, sweeter than honey. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Amen. Let us all pray. O Lord, we render unto you our heartfelt thanks that you have taught us what we should believe and do. Help us, O God, by your Holy Spirit, for the sake of Jesus Christ, to keep your word in pure hearts, that we thereby may be strengthened in faith, perfected in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Amen. peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.